Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern, staring at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight it'll be the Predators and the Senators, and we have confirmed that the Senators will have a full team here tonight in Nashville after they were very, very active at the trading deadline, shedding a lot of players. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. That game will have a puck drop at 7 o'clock, and I'll have pregame for you starting at 6. A good friend of the show, Scott Hartnell, who was on the national stage. We saw his work on NBC Sports Network the other night, now joins us. Hartsy, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. You know, we watch your work on NHL Network all the time, but to see you doing a little work in studio for NBC Sports Network, how did it go?
Yeah, it was good. It's, you know, a little bit different stage, obviously, a little farther drive for me to get up there, but, you know, it's cool to do the, you know, obviously the big games that NBC Sportsnet Network there does. So, you know, I was a little nervous, but, you know, thought I got through it fairly well.
How did you feel about them showing you sliding in and trying to take out Chris Mason in that?
I know, right? That they were asking me, did you remember, you know, scoring on you know, St. Louis, because that was the game of the night, and I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I scored, right? And so anyways, Jonesy had the call there, and he was talking about my speed going to the net, and, you know, it was pretty funny. We had a pretty good laugh about it, but it couldn't happen to a better guy than he scoring on me, that's for sure.
We had fun. We had fun with that for sure. We also had
fun. We were trying to see if you made eye contact with Mace after that went in the crease as you were sliding in there.
Well, we were pretty close. He could have leaned down and kissed me if he wanted to.
Yeah, you were in his personal space a little bit there.
I'll tell you something else, Scott, that got our attention. When you were talking about Kevin Fiala, this was leading up to the game Blues and the Wild, and you were talking about Kevin Fiala, and did I hear you compare you and him at the beginning stages of your careers?
Well, not skill-wise or anything like that, but just kind of how confident he was. That's what I think I said on there, was confident. I could have said maybe cocky might have been a good word, too, as well. But, you know, I had a lot of fun with Kevin because he is just a guy that just has, you know, confidence. I guess that's probably the best word, right, where you could say something to him and he'd be like, no, that's not the way I'm doing it. This is the way I'm doing this. And so it was pretty funny to obviously play with him. We had a lot of banters back and forth, him and I, so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, no doubt. If you spent any time around Kevin Fiala, what you were saying was dead on. He has never been lacking confidence. In fact, David Poile, it's been told on this show, David Poile, when he was sending him back to Milwaukee, Kevin didn't want to leave. And David finally was like, this meeting is over. You're going back to Milwaukee. Kevin Fiala was like, I don't want to go back to Milwaukee. He's like, well, you're going back to Milwaukee. And that was with the general manager.
No, I know. He's got a lot of skill. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe he's a little green coming in and thought the red carpet would be rolled out for him. But, you know, I think he learned a pretty good lesson on getting traded, you know, especially early on in his career. I think he felt really comfortable with the Swiss guys there in Nashville. And, you know, he'd get out of his shell a little bit. And, you know, he's been given a lot of freedom there in Minnesota to kind of do his thing, and you know, obviously he's had a great, you know, last 2-3 weeks for sure, especially.
Now that you're watching this Predators team from more of a distance, what do you see as they go into game 62 tonight, Scott, where they're still sitting on the outside looking into the playoff picture?
Well, you know, it's funny because I went through the stats of the guys yesterday, and I think me and my wife were just talking. I was like, holy, Joey only has, you know, 30-some points, and Phil only has 30-some points, and, you know, Yossi's leading the team by a long shot, right? And I was like, wow, I'm like, I think I could go on that team right now and get, you know, 25, 30 points by the end of the year. So I was like, you know, so very, very inconsistent, I think, from their top forward group, you know, not knocking them or anything. But, you know, I think if you ask them how their season's going, and they would say it's, you know, fairly brutal, you know, to be honest, if you're going to be honest with themselves. So, you know, a team that hasn't lived up to the potential that, you know, and if they get in, it's going to be a scary team if they get hot at the right time. And, you know, you don't want to peak too early, like, you know, I guess peak all year last year, like Tampa Bay, and they're out 4 straight. So this is a team that can get in, and if they get the confidence going and some puck luck and all that kind of stuff, and obviously the goalie situation is solid as ever there in Nashville. So, You know, I'm looking for – I've always picked them the whole year. Them, you know, people are like, oh, they're done. And I'm like, no, they're not done. They got 3-4 games in hand, and no one's played unreal. So that's what I'm looking forward to, those top guys to be top guys.
Talking to Scott Hardnoll, the former Nashville Predator. And, Scotty, I want to ask you more about Ryan Johansson, because you not only played with him here but also in Columbus. He's got 2 goals in his last 3 games. They're trying to get him going. When he's playing well, what makes him a great player? When you're buzzing around with Ryan Johansson, what stands out? What does his A game look like?
Well, he uses his big body. That's probably his biggest asset, right? His reach, his puck control, how he can, you know, he can move fairly well for a big guy as well. So it's just his body, his strength, his puck protection. You know, he obviously has great vision. That's probably his best quality as well. Is he can move that puck. You know, he plays with a couple snipers, and they can bury them. So, you know, for him, you know, I told him this past summer, I said, hey, you've got to be a little bit more selfish, too, to want to score those goals. And, you know, you're getting paid a lot of money to not only just pass, but to be that go-to guy when he needs a goal. So, you know, for him, I told him to be a little bit more selfish to get around that paint and the blue paint and score some goals. But, you know, for him, it's using that size, that speed, and, you know, you rewind a few years ago when they went to the finals, he was an absolute beast out there until, you know, obviously he had that bad injury.
You've gone through stretches. Like, in your career, you were pretty consistent, but I'm sure there were parts of seasons where things weren't going your way. You just referenced it. One of the big themes of the season is some of these really talented forwards that the Predators haven't had great seasons, but there's still a quarter of the season left. What's the best way that you had to try to fight through a time where just nothing seems to be going your way?
You know, it was probably the biggest stretch kind of where I was, you know, frustrated and nothing was going in and no breaks. It was my first year in Philadelphia. You know, I signed a big ticket there when I left Nashville, and the first 22, 24 games, something like that, I didn't have anything going on. And then I had my first 2 goals, and they were both empty netters. And as a Flyer, and I was just, you know, I was frustrated. I was, you know, I just had a lot of pressure myself. Luckily, you know, Timo was there, Danny Briere signed there, Joffrey Leupold, you know, the young kids, Mike Richards, Jeff Carter. So the media really wasn't on me kind of not doing anything. And then, you know, I ended up finishing the season with 22 or 24 goals, right? So that was 60 games. I had 20 goals. So it's a goal every 3 games, right? So it was, I got hot kind of at the right time or whatever. So, you know, for these guys, it's you know, kind of gelling, you know, I'm sure they're still trying to figure out, playing for the new coach and all that kind of stuff. So it's been an up and down year for the Preds, mostly down and up, but, you know, they're right there really on the cusp looking into the playoffs to get in. And I just like the position of them. And if they can get their heads right and their game going, it's, like I said, it's anyone's game out in the Western Conference for sure. And they can definitely be the scariest part if they get hot right now.
Darren mentioned this at the start of the interview. Ottawa is the opponent tonight, and last night they were in Columbus. On the day of the trade deadline, they had made some moves, and they literally had 2 guys that came in after the game started. One guy didn't even play, but the second guy joined the team and was literally introducing himself to the guys on the bench. Did you ever have anything like that where a team made a trade and a guy really just showed up and joined you guys midstream?
No, not at all. I couldn't even imagine how he'd get warmed up anyway to get out there and not pull a groin. The NHL so fast nowadays. But, you know, I watched a little bit of that game and give Ottawa credit for losing a few guys and having such a young squad and, you know, how great Columbus has been really with almost the same, you know, with all the injuries. They got a lot of young guys in the lineup. It was a pretty fast-paced hockey game.
We're back. Darren Donovan Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sorry about that. Had some technical difficulties. We continue with Scott Hartnoll, former Nashville NBC Sports Network the other night. Sorry we got cut off there, Scott. But as the trade deadline has now passed, and we asked David Poile this question earlier today of, you know, the players in the room that you hear rumors and you read things and, you know, is the guy next you going to be there? Are you going to be there? Now that that is all done, how much does that change the mindset of the room?
Well, it's huge. You know, you know, it does affect you, you know, if you're in the playoffs, if you're, you know, leading the league or you're, you know, on the outside looking in because, you know, guys are going to move if they're on expiring deals and things like that. So, you know, you just take a deep breath afterwards and it's like, okay, let's get back focusing on, you know, what's at hand and winning the game tonight instead of worrying about what who's going to be gone or what's going to happen. So, you know, it's just it's a tricky time of the year, and you know, a lot of people don't really understand how much it affects a guy. And you know, obviously, you know, with the Preds, Matty Irwin going to Anaheim, it's obviously, you know, sucks because I'm sure he'd love Nashville or whatever, but for him to get some playing time and go out there and get his career back on track and get playing in some games, it's going to be so good for him.
I know that you obviously didn't play for John Hines, but what have you seen just from afar of the differences between somebody you did play for and Peter Laviolette and now what John Hines is trying to institute here?
Well, I think he's done a great job of, you know, I think it was a few games in when he sat a bunch of the big boys on forward there to, you know, to send a message that, you know, you got to be held accountable on how you're going to play. And, you know, I'm not sure if Lavi kind of let that slide where he couldn't kind of grasp everyone in again. So, you know, to make sure that there's accountability, number one, throughout the whole team, doesn't matter who you are, is huge. And you got to earn your ice time. And that's the way, you know, if I was a coach, I would do it too. If you're not playing, you're not going to play. You got to earn your power play time. You got to earn your penalty kill time because, you know, that's just a good way to go about it, for me anyway.
Is it hard sometimes, Scott, because you were with this group for a year, so you know a lot of these guys. Is it hard to, when you've been together for so long, to keep things fresh? And, you know, that's, you brought up Laviolette and the message and stuff. Is it just difficult to keep guys having that fresh message because they're around each other so much?
No, I think it builds a team. You're together for a long time. You know each other. You have fun with each other, the inside jokes, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's fun to go to the rink, but, you know, when the message gets stale, you know, that's kind of where GMs are forced to make a change, I guess, and you know, probably that's what happened in Nashville's case. But to keep things fresh, fun, exciting when you want to go to the rink instead of, oh, man, I got to go do this practice again or I got to do that or, you know, the same meetings, it gets old and repetitive, and that's why, you know, coaches, you know, don't last 10, 15 years. I know Nashville had a 15-year man there in Trotsky, but it's very few and far between.
Scott, as we wrap this up, we've been saying all day on the show that we're going to have you on, and a lot of our listeners wanted us to ask you. They were concerned about you cutting your hair down, that if the networks made you cut your hair.
They did not make me cut my hair. More my wife making me cut my hair. I just thought I'd change it up. I've kind of had a bunch of different hairstyles over the years, and who knows, maybe in a year or two it comes back in full force. So who knows?
There you go. Good stuff. Hey, keep up the good work. We're watching here in Nashville, and we always appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks. Go Preds. We'll be cheering for you guys for sure.
All right, there you go. Scott Hartnell, former Predator, on the line with us, does great work on NHL Network and just made a nice debut on NBC Sports Network. What was that, Sunday night?
Yep.
For Wild and the Blues. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on the other side. Willie, why don't you give us a word about Lee Company?
All right, let's tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. You've got four straight at home for the Predators coming up here. And as I've said many times, Lee Company is a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators. You're going to see their display all over Bridgestone Arena. And, of course, you'll hear their presence on our broadcast tonight at 102.5 The Game. What they do is they make sure your house is running properly in all ways. Let's take maintenance. If there are breakdowns going on, maybe your fence is worn and torn in your backyard. Maybe it's your ceiling or your floors or your windows that need some work. At home or at work, general maintenance is an area of expertise for the folks at Lee Company, and that's just one of the many strengths that they have. 615-567-1000, or go online and get in touch with them. You can make an online appointment at leecompany.com, and while you're there on that website, you can take a look at all the different services they have, like the home maintenance plan. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
and foodie night here at Bridgestone Arena. And Mardi Gras. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big celebration tonight. Predators hosting the Senators. Fan foodie night. You know what that means. You get 50% off food and soft drink purchases. So, should be a fun night here in Smashville. Good stuff from Scott Hartnell. What we learned from that interview is that his wife suggested that he cut his hair. Or, you know, I didn't want to say demanded that he cut his hair, but he said the wife was behind him cutting his hair. A lot of people were concerned why he was so low cut.
But if you can go back a ways with Scott Hartnell, you have seen the sort of the ebb and flow.
Yes.
I see
what you did there. Well done.
Ebb and flow of the flow.
Uh-huh.
He used to have kind of the tight curly hair when he first came up with the Predators. And when he went to Philadelphia, he really let it go.
He
let it go. It was flowing all over the place. Then kind of pulled it back a little bit. And then last year when we talked to him a few times, remember he was sort of honored at Philly when the Predators were there and then came through here. He had the man bun going.
He did.
At one time.
He's had a lot of looks.
He's got a lot of looks. He varies his looks. I can't vary the looks anymore.
No.
I don't really have that option.
This is true. I don't have much to add to that.
Yeah.
David Poile also, we learned something in his interview that I kind of felt like he was saying Holzer, there's a real shot, the guy that they acquired. Really, the only move that they made yesterday was sending Matt Irwin to Anaheim and a sixth-round pick in 2022 for Holzer, another defenseman, and that there's a real shot. It sounded like David Poile's words that he's not going to be in the lineup tonight, but maybe on Thursday night versus Calgary.
Well, I don't know for sure, and he said it's going to be up to the coaches, but I do get the sense that they're going to at least take a look at him for some games to see if he's a fit. In listening to John Hines earlier when people were asking about it, and Holzer came out and addressed the media. He's from Germany. He's been in the league a long time. He goes back a ways with the Maple Leafs and the Ducks, and he actually talked about some of the battles being on the other side of the Ducks-Predators rivalry and now being in the locker room with some of the guys that he played with. He is, you know, your classic fifth, sixth, seventh defenseman, and a lot of times seventh, right? He's the extra guy to fit that role. It's a lot like Matt Irwin. You got to be a good personality. You got to be a good team guy. You can't complain when you're not in there. You got to be willing to be a healthy scratch sometimes, but you're that security blanket. But sometimes you could end up being in a new place, the right fit. One of his areas, supposedly, and I haven't watched him play enough to really know myself, but I think they think maybe he could be an upgrade on their penalty kill. He's a right-hand shot. He's got a little bit of size. And so he's going to get a few opportunities just to see if he can be better than the others. On paper, he is more of the same profile as Yannick Weber, Dan Hamhuis, and those guys. But you never know. A few years ago, there was a guy that was a healthy scratch many times in that 6-7 role for the Blackhawks named Michael Kempney. Kind of a deal that made no headlines. The Capitals picked up Michael Kempney at the trade deadline. He ended up being a perfect fit for their lineup for whatever reason. Sometimes right. You don't know. There was a year in 2008 where the Predators, now I got to think of the guy's name. Now I'm blanking on it. Predators picked up a guy that wasn't playing at all for Tampa. And, oh, now it's killing me. The Predators did in 08. He ended up, he was a complete no-name. But he came in and really was playing in a lot of important situations for a team that barely made it to the playoffs. That team that made the late run, the Dan Ellis run. And why am I not thinking of his Czech Republic guy, I think. I'll have to look it up. So sometimes with these role players, it's about fit. And maybe they can make a contribution. And just like the other way, sometimes you bring in a guy that on paper looks like he can make a big impact, and he doesn't really make a big impact. And you've given up a lot for them. Like the Mike Santorelli trade with Cody Franson, where they gave up a first round. You know, that didn't work out very well. They had virtually no impact. So we'll see. There's a lot of teams right now hoping that they made the right move. We talked yesterday about all those teams in the East that really hopped in and went for it, especially the Metro Division, the Canadian teams, particularly Calgary and Edmonton, are going for it. Vegas definitely loading the wagon. Remember, Vegas hasn't had 5 years to build their farm system, so they are continuing to just go for it in the early stages of their profession. I wonder what price, if any, they'll pay down the road for all the assets they give up.
Well, I think when you're in that mode, you can't worry about it, because when you're in go-for-it mode, and I get it, when it doesn't work out, then everybody questions it, right? But when it does, nobody questions it. But if you're in go-for-it mode, and they are, look, the West is wide open, which is why it's so critically important for the Predators to get in, because it is so wide open. It is not like the East. The East is brutal. I mean brutal. It is top heavy. Heavy. West, get a dartboard out. I know the Blues have been the most consistent team all year. They've been a team at the top, and they'll probably remain at the top. I'd say there's a real good shot. If you're asking me who am I banking on, I would say probably St. Louis will finish as the number one seed. But, you know, Colorado, Dallas are right there. They could certainly unseed them here in the last 20, 21 games. Vegas may now make a run. I don't know.
Vegas, to me, is a team that looks like they're jumping
enough
up.
They're equipped to do it.
They could run away with that division, I think. I think they're that good.
Well, I don't know I don't know how anybody could run away from that division, because you're talking about a jumbled mess. That thing has been a jumbled mess between five teams all year.
You're right, but I think their roster is good enough on paper. Just like a lot of people would look at Nashville's roster. You heard Scar Hartnell. He was like, their roster should not have them be where they are in the standings. Jan Hlavic is the guy that the Predators picked up. Absolute no name. I think they gave up a seventh-round pick. It was like the only trade that they made. Remember, this was right in the sort of the cash trap, the transition of ownership.
I honestly don't even remember him.
Well, he wasn't a guy that would jump out on your eyes, but he had 13 points in 18 games.
Wow.
He was a plus nine. He played a lot of penalty kill for him. He just was a fit for Barry Trotz. It just ended up being a nice little piece that they added. And I couldn't remember his name until I looked it up.
I still don't. And you just
Corbinian
told me who he
Holzer,
is.
I don't maybe he ends up being in the top six. Like this time last year, Mika Salamaki, who they just traded, I would have said there's no way. Remember, he got hurt, he was off the radar. I was thinking there's no way he's gonna play any significant time. But down the stretch, he kind of found his game, and he was in the lineup, and he was in most of the playoff games. So sometimes you're not sure exactly what ingredient ends up being a key ingredient.
Well, I mean, when Matt Irwin came here, it was, you know, nobody – it's not like anybody – but look at the minutes and games that he's logged and the battles he's been through with this team.
No question. So I think what they were looking for with Holzer, number one, Matt Irwin goes – and you heard Scott Hartnell say it – he gets a chance now to go play for a team that's not going anywhere.
Oh, he'll play.
Right, but that's what he wants. He wants to play because he's battling for a contract next year, so he gets that opportunity. Meanwhile, maybe Holzer ends up being something – his strengths in his game end up being something that the Predators need. We know that they've got to figure out a way to kill some penalties. They've got to figure out a way. If he can do that, he'll play.
Yep.
Right? If he helps that, you'll find a way to get him in there. He's got a little more size. He's a right-hand shot. And they feel like they've got the puck movers and whatnot, but time will tell.
Time will tell. By the way, we are kicking off the inaugural MLS season of Nashville's SC this Friday. We will be at 10 Roof on Demumbrian, not far from where we are right now. Our show, the afternoon show, so from 10 in the morning until 6 p.m., live shows at 10 Roof on Demumbrian. And it's going to be a great day. Stop by. Check out our live shows every hour with both shows. That's 8 hours. Every hour we'll be giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to Saturday's match over at Nissan Stadium as Nashville SC kicks off their inaugural MLS season. Happy hour starts at 2 p.m. with great food and drink specials. It's the Nashville SC inaugural MLS season kickoff party. Once again, this Friday at 10 Roof on Demumbrian. Live shows, our show from 10 to 2, Jared and the GM from 2 to 6. Tickets to Saturday's game and great food and drink specials. We are in BN with us. That'll be a fun day not far from here. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Last opportunity to pop into Pete and Terry's Tavern. You got about 10 minutes to stick your name in the registration box to be in Bridgestone Arena tonight for the Predators and the Senators. So last call, last call. You don't have to be present to win, but you must pop in here in the next 10 minutes and put your name in the box. Tonight it's the Predators and Senators. Thursday night it'll be Calgary, and then they will close things out. It'll be Calgary, by the way, Elliot. Calgary in here on Thursday.
Isn't it interesting that they're playing Calgary on Thursday when
yeah,
he's
we'll bring that up.
Scheduled
that,
to come on?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I will well, definitely
he,
bring up
he
Calgary.
Threw his hands up. He threw his hands up, and he had to surrender because you gave him a hard time about that.
Well, and he got pelted by a lot of people on Twitter like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You were on Darren Donica Chase, and you said no, but he says Calgary.
That was a fun moment. That was a was fun good. Moment of victory for Darren
hey,
right
look.
There.
Elliot Friedman is a good sport.
He is. He's been a good sport.
That's one of the things I really do like about our Thursday visits. He's got great info, but you're right. He rolls with the punches. He's got personality. That's kind of important in this business, and so that's one of the things I really appreciate when he comes on. So we'll bring that up, and then on Saturday, that will be the final day of the month of February. Can you believe that? When we come on the air next week, it's going to be March.
I know.
What has happened in 2020?
It's flying by, man.
We're ready to close the book on 2 months, the first 2 months of this year?
It's going to be time for the NHL playoffs. It's going to be time for the draft.
Well, let's be honest. March is going to be a great month.
Yeah.
Think about everything that we've talked about. So you've got the Predators making their push. They've got the heaviest workload they're going to have all year in the month of March. So there's going to be a lot of games trying to get in the playoff picture. Titans, you think they got stuff going on in March?
Free agency.
Yep. Hello.
As got a little bit to do.
March Madness. Yep. You got the you got the SEC basketball tournament here.
Yep.
You've got the NCAA tournament getting cranked up.
And you know what else we got, boys? We got spring training. We got spring training.
We
do. Let's not forget that.
We do, and the Astros are finding out what we've been saying for weeks.
Yeah, forget them.
It's not going to be easy. This just in. By the way, Altuve got plunked yesterday.
He did. Hit by pitch.
In a preseason game.
Yep.
I mean, in a training.
Spring training.
Spring training.
I watched the Braves. They had telecasts on Saturday and Sunday, so I actually watched Braves baseball.
And they got booed constantly.
The Astros.
Yeah,
they got booed
constantly.
Signs got stolen out of the audience.
If I'm the Astros, I'm thankful. Get it out of your way in March and hope that it dies down a little bit.
Please.
It's not getting out of the way.
We'll see.
You think spring training they're being like, okay, we got all of our boos out, all of our signs.
All right, well, let me give you an example. All right, now, I haven't watched the 30 for 30 yet. I don't know if you guys have. Have you guys watched the 30 for 30 on Michael Vick?
No, not yet.
No.
I recall
– nope.
And I want to see if the piece kind of goes along with this at all. But when he was in jail and then he was about to get out of jail, there was a lot of talk about, you know, who would sign him. And, oh, man, you don't want to sign him because it's going to be an issue. Every time he goes in there, he's going to get booed. And you thought that was the case. The firestorm happened for sure when the Eagles decided to sign him. But once the season got going, and it certainly helped that he was playing well, that it wasn't like every week Michael Vick's coming to town and here come all the signs and the protesters. It wasn't as big of a thing as it seemed like it was going to be.
You understand
so sometimes,
that's not an apples-to-apples comparison. Like, he went away to prison.
Yeah, right?
He was gone for a long time and then came back. People had a long time to get over all that and get all of it out of their system.
But there were some people that did not think
fresh.
He should be playing.
This
right?
wound is wide open. I mean, it's still got blood dripping out of it. It hasn't
does.
Scabbed over. This thing,
but I think,
is
I, but here,
so fresh.
Hear me out, though. I think there were some animal lovers, protesters that never thought he should ever play again, and they didn't change their feeling. It just becomes a very tough thing to continue to fight and bring it up and make it a big deal. It takes a lot of energy. And I do think fatigue starts setting in. Like, the Astros are going to play a game every day.
Right.
So are they going to boo and
yes.
hiss every day?
Yep.
For how long?
But you act like the same people are going to be in the stands and they're playing in the same ballpark night in and night out with the same people.
But it's a three-game series in most cases. You're going to early in the season, I think there will be some of that. But I think over time, it's just going to be – I don't think it's going to stay where it is right now.
So
not right now.
Have you looked at the schedule? Any idea? You know, have you looked at their schedule? You know when they go to New York to play the Yankees? Have you looked?
I have not looked.
It's like September.
That's the first time they go to Yankee
Stadium? It's late. Very late in the year.
Okay.
So you think in New York they'd be like, yeah, you know what? That's yesterday's news. That's so old now. Yankees fans are not going to boo and give it to the Astros?
I think by that time a lot of days and a lot of situations are going to pass.
Man, you are underestimating things.
Well, let's take a look. Let's just see how it goes.
I have no doubts. No doubts.
But my point is, it's not even March yet. And if some of the people can vent and get it out of their system in games that don't count, that's what I would prefer if I'm the Astros. Get it out of your system.
Yeah, but I'm a Theron. I don't think it goes away.
All right, well, we'll see. I didn't say it's going to completely go away.
Whoa.
I'm just saying I don't know that it's going to be the firestorm every game that you think. That takes a lot of time and energy.
It does, and look, I hate
that. After a while, you're going to play each team, and so what the next time you play them, are you going to do the same thing? How many times do you retaliate before you got to get on with your life?
Are the Astros, are they in Florida?
Yes.
Okay. Look, I mean, I hate that it's going to take away from what should be a great year of baseball, because, I mean, look, there are a lot of talented teams that have a chance at it. You know, your Mets are going to be better. My Braves are obviously one of the best in the National League. Indians, we'll see. But every time we talk baseball, this is going to come up. It's just I don't see it going away.
I don't think every time we talk baseball, it's going to come up after a while.
Do you know their first
road? Hopefully.
Do you know what their first road game is this year?
Unless somebody is caught doing the same thing. Now, that's when you have a major problem. Because then you open up the can of worms, they didn't do enough, right? The sign stealing, there needs to be, and if I'm the commissioner, I would say there better not be a hint of any sign stealing by any team. Because if there is, then you think the penalties on the Astros were tough?
Then the league goes, then the league goes, oh, you're getting tough now? Yeah, we told you. You're the A's. Yeah, we told you about this, commission. Oh, you're ruling with a...
Can't do anything about
really?
It now.
Really? Iron fist now? Oh, wow, that's great.
Can't do anything about that
Glad
now.
You're
You've
really
made your decision.
Beefing up now. We told you all about this, and you just looked the other way. You wouldn't have anything to do. You wouldn't even listen to us. And so now you're gonna rule with an iron fist?
Well, because now it's the third warning. The first warning, they didn't do anything. The second warning, they have these penalties. Now the third warning has got to be even harsher penalties. So that would be
Do you know their
a
first
major
road game
stain
this year?
On the game.
I know.
You looked?
Yeah.
Do you know the first road game this year?
No.
At Oakland.
Spicy.
Yep.
At Oakland is their first road game.
Spicy. Is Mike Fiers pitching?
Oh, you know he is. In that series? Yes. You think people are going to be talking about that series? That is at the end of March, beginning of April.
That's probably good for baseball.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It'll
give people a reason to watch that you wouldn't otherwise watch.
Lots of attention. So they're at the Angels, at the Rangers, at the Rays.
So their first homestand is against the Metropolitans? Is that right?
The first homestand? They start at home.
Oh, they start at home? Ooh.
Mike Trout?
Yep.
Well, yeah, they have the Angels at their first – their first three series, two of them are against the Angels, home and away.
There's definitely going to be some stuff in the first few weeks, for sure.
Sure, there should be.
But after that, what happens after that? So September is a really good question. That's a really interesting test that they won't have played the Yankees all the way until then. By the way, the Yankees had a little something going on, too, allegedly, with Mr. Beltran. So who knows what we're going to find out about the whole thing. Remember Alex Cora's wisecracking the games in London? The best acquisition the Yankees made was Carlos Beltran. And nobody knew what the heck he was talking about.
Let's see. I am through. I'm in August. They still have not gone to Yankee Stadium.
That's what he said, September.
You said
September.
Yeah. You're double-checking?
I'm just making sure.
You're making sure.
Making sure that my – yep. Nothing in August. September 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. That's the first time they go to Yankee Stadium. Four-game series in late September.
And look where they go at the end.
And then they go to the Braves right after that.
We'll make a road trip.
We should.
I'd be down.
That Friday, September 25th?
I'm down.
We should.
Down to Boo.
That would be fun. That's at the end of the year. That is their second-to-last road game of the year is against the Yankees. Yeah, I'm sure everybody will be over by then.
I don't know about that.
You got almost a full season that will have been played by then.
We shall see. We'll come back. We
got to remember that we had this conversation.
Okay.
We will.
We might not even remember we had this conversation
in
mid-September.
He won't forget, especially if he's right.
Yo, no doubt.
If he's right, you're correct. That's
no
true.
Doubt. We will dedicate a whole show to
true statement. True fact.
We'll come back and wrap up the show next. All right, guys. It's time to
favorite
shake
Led
it up.
Zeppelin song right here.
Can you hear that? It's me shaking the registration box. How annoying is that? You want to hear the most annoying noise in the entire world?
That's coming up at 2 o'clock.
Wow.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Holy moly.
Just kidding.
Take your headset off and walk away, Chase McCabe. Holy cow.
Look, man, it was on a tee.
Boy, did you knock that thing to Gallatin. That thing just landed in Gallatin, just like Kyle Humphreys. Kyle, congratulations. He's from Gallatin. You've won the tickets to tonight's game. Boom. We'll see you at Bridgestone Arena.
I may or may not be here.
Wow. Holy moly.
You're welcome.
I was trying to take you down the path of Dumb and Dumber, and you just went a whole new level. So I read the quotes to Floyd Reese, who's here on site now, Pete and Terry's Tavern, of John Robinson speaking on Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, and he said, and I quote, "Sounds like Derrick Henry's getting ready to get locked up and Ryan Tannehill's on the way out the door." Enter Tom Brady.
That is not what he
said.
No,
that is not what he said.
Did I hear that wrong? I thought that's what Floyd said. No? Okay, maybe he didn't. He didn't say that. I made that up. But it sounded good. It's good content.
It was good.
He didn't say that.
It's good.
I've kind of said that.
That's how you feel.
I do. I just feel it's weird hearing that. Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, he's under contract for the next couple of weeks. Hey, really want to thank him for a great job he did for us. Derrick Henry. Oh, we're gonna work on that one. We're gonna do everything we can to try to keep him around. Just feels a little bit different.
Look, it does. I told you when you read them to me for the first time that I think it sounds like he's more committed to getting Henry signed than Tannehill, that the door is more open for Tannehill, but I don't read it as a goodbye. I just read it as there are more options.
No, I don't. I'm kidding. I do not view it as a goodbye.
Yeah.
I just think it's
I think there are more options with the quarterback.
Very
there are no options with the running back.
Very non-committal
right.
about Tannehill.
He doesn't have to commit.
But Derrick Henry, a little bit more
committal.
Yeah, we got to keep this guy around.
Yeah.
Led the league in rushing. He's kind of important.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think they should go there.
I mean, I can see both sides.
Yeah, yeah. No, but as for
I think maybe you're on a roll. Maybe you should stick around.
I know.
Why did you save your best stuff to the end?
I don't know.
We've been doing this for 3 hours and 45 minutes today.
You
save all your good stuff to the end?
The walk-off.
I guess
the
so.
The walk-off factor. I've been called savage on Twitter.
That was beefy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Be here all week. Tip your bartenders.
Hey, don't ever say Chase will say that stuff behind your back.
No.
No, he'll say it right to you.
No, I will bring it, that's for sure. No doubt about it.
Do you have remorse?
No.
A regret?
It was funny. It was a good line.
Even Floyd chuckled.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to get a reaction out of Floyd.
Not really.
He even laughed. Well, he's got a good poker face.
He does. Well, he had to in his previous line of work.
I wonder how many – who do you think Floyd Reese said that to? You know, we're going to work through everything we can to make this work and keep him around.
Look, I can remember –
who do you think he said that about?
I don't know.
I would say Eddie George.
Eddie, yeah.
You know?
Probably.
Eddie?
Say number nine.
Yeah. Negotiations. Look, that's what you have to do.
But then he may have said, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, he's under contract for the next couple of weeks. You know, maybe he's been great thus far, but we'll see.
Look.
Who do you think he said that about?
I don't know. Neil O'Donnell.
Dozens.
Neil O'Donnell. What?
I don't know. I just know that I remembered Floyd doing some press conferences back in the day, and now that I am in this business, I can go back and watch those and go, he didn't say anything. He just said a bunch of words. He didn't say anything.
Well, that's the job of a general manager
exactly. Sometimes.
That's
what they have to do.
All right. That is going to do it
for
us.
We should go now.
Chase is itching to get out of here.
I need a nap.
Yeah. By the way, Chase, I don't know if there's a trap door or a side door, but you got to go past some people on the way out of here.
I'm not worried.
All right. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM is next.
Time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.